Bring a gift of laughter, seeing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God and God, God. He made us, we didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. Would you pray with me? Father God, we have come to this place this morning with hearts of gratitude that can only exclaim how great and beautiful and generous you are. Thank you, O God, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Father, we join the saints, we join the angels, we join all creation in lifting our voices and singing out because you are worthy of our praise. You created us, we didn't create you. You are the living God. You are our good Father. You are beautiful in every way. And so would you be so pleased by your people in this place, lifting high your name today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. And then, if you'll put another finger, in Revelation 22. So if you don't know where those are, Genesis 2 is the very beginning. And Revelation 22 is the very end. Any of you guys grow up in those churches where you were a kid doing sword drills? Nope. Y'all are not from the Bible Belt. Oh my goodness. Sword drills. That's where you like are told, you know, find this book and this chapter as fast as you can. You race the other kids to find in the Bible and then you get a point if you win. You guys totally missed out. Anyway, today is sword drills for adults. We are going to be all over the Bible today. And so I hope you brought one because that will help. And if not, of course, the screen is there. But it's kind of fun to see how fast you can find them. Or maybe that's just a dorky preacher. But we are going to see the table in a bunch of different places today as we continue our series and our unique calling as children of God. Today, we remember that we are called to be a people who set a table. Would you pray with me? Father God, now as we turn to your word, we ask that your spirit would move freely in us, among us. Lord, we've come because we need to hear from you. And so would you help us hear what it is you want us to hear? And so you will help us be who it is you want us to be. So you will help us do what it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at a couple of these verses real fast. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. The first command the Lord gives to humankind. The Lord commanded the man, "You may eat freely of every tree of the garden." Fast forward a lot to Revelation 22, verse 17, the last command that the Lord gives. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let everyone who hears say, "Come," and let everyone who is thirsty come. And let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. Quick survey just for fun. If you think through this past week in your life, from this time last Sunday till now, how many minutes approximately did you spend at a table eating or drinking with somebody else? Not by yourself, somebody else. The last week, think of the different times you actually came to the table, not alone, not the couch with the TV going, but an actual real table. And try to total up about how long you sat there. Just quickly try to think of it. I know you didn't come for math, but just try it. Just try it. Anybody in here think that they gathered around the table with other human beings for more than 7 hours this past week? All right. We've got three, four. In a culture like ours, that is awesome. Good job. You can go home. Go catch the Seahawks around the table. All right. So 7 hours or more, that's about an hour a day. Very cool. All right. Anybody around 3-4 hour range around the table with other people this week? All right. All right. Again, in our culture, not bad at all. It's good. Anybody, as you total that up, under an hour, and you can raise your hand if you want. You may, yeah, we got one couple, handful, under an hour. You know, working parents, single people, that's just a reality. It's become pretty normal. In fact, studies show that in America, folks on average eat one in every 5 meals in their car during a week. So that's multiple meals in a car if you do the math. And the average mealtime in America right now, 60 years ago, it was 90 minutes, the average mealtime. Today, any guess what the average mealtime is for Americans? Under 12 minutes. And not that long of a time, we've gone from an hour and a half to maybe 10 minutes. And so it's normal nowadays for folks to just not come to the table. It's normal. But the question is it healthy? Not so much. You know, the average parent, this is all statistics, the average parent in America, get this, spends roughly 38.5 minutes per week in meaningful conversation with their child. 38.5 minutes per week in meaningful conversation with their child. You see, a loss of connection is one of the many results of a loss of a table. Sociologist Cody Delestrati, he did this fascinating study on the emotional health of families. And here's what he found by compiling gazillions of different sources together. And I think I've shared these with you before, but they are profound. He found the number one factor for parents raising kids who are drug-free, healthy, intelligent, kind human beings, the number one factor, frequent family dinners. He said he found the number one shaper of vocabulary in young children, frequent family dinners. The number one predictor of future academic success in young children, frequent family dinners. Are you seeing a trend? This is the one, the variable most associated between everything else with lower incidence of depressive and suicidal thoughts among 11 to 18-year-olds. What do you think it might be? Frequent family dinners. Who would have thought? Kids and teens are crying out for their families to come back to the table. And you know, it just makes sense when we remember our calling, our story. And we realize that life around the table is one of its very biggest themes. The first command God gives humans, Genesis 2:16, eat freely. The last command, Revelation 22:17, come and drink freely. In the garden, people were created to eat freely in the presence of the living God. And at the end of the story, we're not there yet. At the end of the story, we're back in the presence of God, drinking freely. And the whole story in between is of this God doing 1,000 different things to get back to the table with his beloved children. That's our story. Have you ever noticed it? We are called to set a table and dine with the living God. In fact, Scripture suggests over and over again that every time we set our table for another person, we're actually setting the table and inviting God into our home, into our lives. So let's just follow this thread through the story this morning. You may not be convinced yet. Just two little verses in Genesis, Revelation. hold on, this is going to get good. You may have never realized how huge the table is in the Bible, and I can only hit a tiny percentage this morning. But I invite you to lean in, my friends, because once again, you've got a calling, a calling, and it's a calling to come back to the table. Still in Genesis 18, 1 to 15, that's the story where Abraham is greeted outside of his tent by three strangers. Remember this story? When he sees them, he bows down before them and he honors them, and then he ushers them into his tent, invites them in, and prepares a meal to feed them. It's the best meal that he has. All the most expensive ingredients go into it. And they gather around Abraham's tent, and as they eat and as they talk, these strangers go on to tell Abraham and Sarah, who are very, very old in the story, that they're going to have a son. Around the table, as Abraham went out of his way to offer hospitality to strangers, it turns out he was actually literally eating in the presence of God, receiving the promises and the salvation of God. The life of Israel started at the table. We're called to come back to the table. Our lives and the future generations coming after us, they depend on it. We are called back to the table. There's this wonderful story in 2 Kings chapter 4. I don't know if you've heard it or not, because it doesn't get much press, but it should, because it's a good story. And in this story, Elisha, he's the prophet of God who's at work at this time, and he is just moving nonstop from place to place doing God's work. And as he's moving about, he frequently passes through this one little town called Shunem. And there's this wealthy woman who lives there. And she invites him in for a meal. And again, as he passes through, she keeps doing it. And one day she tells her husband, you know, this prophet of God, he comes through our town a lot. She said, let's step up our hospitality game a little bit. And she said, how about we build him an extra room on our house? And so when he passes through, he can get a meal, but also a place to stay. And so they go out and they build a room on their house for God to use however he wants to use it. You know, I think as Jesus people, we're all called to do the same, to have a room in our house that is simply for God to use however God wants to use it. Imagine what would happen if we did that. There's millions of Jesus people in this world. Would there be homelessness if we all had a room that said, God, this is yours. Use it however you want to use it. Well, these people did it. They did it. And Elisha comes and he eats there and he stays there again and again. And eventually he wants to repay their kindness. And so he ends up asking this lady in Shunem, what is it that your heart most desires? And she's shy to answer at first because she's like, I wasn't doing this for any favors. I was doing this because God told me you're a man of God and I did it for God. But Elisha keeps prying and he finally gets it out of her that she longs to be a mom. And Elisha, upon hearing that, tells her that it's done, that God will send her a son. A year later, she gives birth. You guys know this story? Familiar? It's good stuff. One day, this little boy that she's finally had, he gets a headache. And then the dad brings him to mom, and mom holds him, and the little boy dies in his mom's arms. And she goes and lays him on that bed that she had prepared for Elisha, and she sends off for the prophet. And he comes running from wherever he is back to that room, and he lays his body on the boy, and the boy comes back to life. You see, this woman in Shunem, she had a son. And that son's life is saved all because she chose one day to set a table and prepare a room. We are called back to the table. Our lives, the lives of our children, depend on it. There are tons more stories in the Old Testament, but for the sake of time, I want to jump to the Gospels and the table there. Have you ever noticed how much Jesus' life happens around the table? You ever notice that? Way more than in the temple. Jesus loved the table. He liked good food. More than that, he liked people. Jesus was this really busy guy, no doubt. A prophet, a rabbi. He had about 3 years to try to save the world. You'd think that didn't leave him much time for this table talk stuff. That gets our extra time, right? But it turns out table talk was required in this saving the world stuff. In Luke 10, we find Jesus at one of his very favorite tables. Do you know which one it was? Jesus' favorite table? Yes, the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, Bethany. Martha's in the kitchen cooking away. Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to whatever it is he has to say. And if you notice throughout the Gospels, over and over again, Jesus just keeps going back to Bethany. It seems that he loved Martha's cooking and that he loved Mary's listening, that table and that room that was prepared for him. The night after he rode that donkey into Jerusalem, that Sunday that kicked off his very last week on earth, you know where he went that night? Back to Bethany. One last meal with his friends in that home where the table was always set. Those three, in keeping this table set, they got the honor of eating with God again and again. That our homes might be as Bethany, tables always set for Jesus to come and to eat with us. If we will set the table, he will come. Yeah. Also in Luke 10, Jesus sends his disciples on their very first mission. Do you remember this? And as he's giving them instructions of how to go about doing his work in the world, he tells them as they're going to the town, they're going to stop at the very first home that welcomes you in. He said, stay at that place. Don't move around. Stay at that place. And whatever they offer you to eat, eat it. As they're doing the work of God, these first disciples are depending on some folks in this world to have a room ready, to have a table set, to be willing to care for strangers in their midst. When was the last time we cared for a stranger in our midst? Like really cared for them. And when they get invited in, the hosts don't even know it, but what they're doing is they are caring for the very friends of Jesus. And they don't even know it, but what they're doing is they are inviting in Jesus' mission by feeding his disciples. All because these were the ones who dared to prepare a room and set a table. We are called to join Jesus' mission. And sometimes you don't have to go to Africa to do it. Sometimes it's as easy as setting a table. Do you know what Jesus' biggest critique was in all the Gospels? The one that came up over and over, why they got so mad at him the most? It's because he kept eating good food with really bad people. It's true. Look at the Gospels. It happens again and again. Over and over, we see Jesus in the house of sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes, and he is having the best time at their messy, dysfunctional tables. He loves it. The broken, the sinners, the outcasts of those moments when Jesus came to their home for at least a little while, they're back in that garden place eating in the presence of God because Jesus came to their table. Matthew 25. Jesus talks about the sheep and the goats and how in the last days God's going to separate one from the other. And the sheep are those who are going to be called to live with Jesus forever and ever and ever. And here's how he describes the sheep. He says, these are the ones. He says, I was hungry. You gave me food. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. You welcomed me. I was naked. You gave me clothing. I was sick, you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. They ask him, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, a stranger? His response, what you did for the least of these, you did it for me. You see, every single time you set a table for someone with nowhere else to eat, Jesus says, you did it for me. Just like Abraham, every time we extend hospitality to another, what we're doing is we're back. We're back eating in the presence of our God again. We are called back to the table. Jesus' life among us depends on it. Luke 24, y'all flipping around? No one's flipping around. This is good practice. Next week you should bring your Bible. In Luke 24, there's two disciples and they're walking home after Jesus has been killed. And they're depressed and they're afraid, as you would be. They're moaning and they're groaning. And the stranger, it's Jesus, but they don't know it's Jesus, joins them on the path. And he asks, what are you guys talking about? And then they talk about why they're so sad. And because there was this guy that we thought was the Messiah, and he's dead and he's gone. And then the stranger, Jesus, begins to remind them of all the different things that Scripture said. Don't you remember it said this? And it says that they finally get to their home. It's miles away. And though they are totally worn out, they know that they can't leave the stranger on his own. How often do we leave strangers on their own? Come in. Eat with us, they say. It's late, it's getting dark, and it's not safe to be on these roads at night. And so the stranger, Jesus, comes to their table. He picks up the bread and he breaks it, and their eyes are open. And they see that it's him. And just like that, he's gone. And you know what happens? These two, they head right back out. Back on that exact same road that they just told Jesus was too dangerous to be on at night. And they get back on that road to go back to Jerusalem to tell all the others that he is alive. Their eyes were opened to see Jesus at the table. And their hearts were inspired with a dose of courage to get on mission and go tell some good news at the table. We're called back to the table because our eyes need to see Jesus and our hearts need some courage to go and follow him in those hard places. And that comes at the table. There are way more table stories in the Gospels. Again, for time, we got to skip over some of those. You have some fun homework this week. Check them out. But I want to notice one more in the New Testament outside the Gospels. Hebrews 13, 1 through 2. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Do you sometimes wish you could see God more often? You sometimes wish you could hear God more clearly when he speaks. Do you sometimes wish you could have a closer connection to God? I ask you this morning, if you say yes to any of those, are you setting very many tables these days? Because that's one of the main places that God shows up. Set a real table this week and invite real humans to come and eat with you. And you may realize a few hours into it, holy smokes, God's here too. Angels among us when we set some tables. It's a promise. In Genesis 2 and Revelation 22, God shows us his heart. And his heart is to eat and drink freely with his people. Why? Why does God care so much about the table? Because there's an intimacy to it. There's an intimacy to the table. I think that's why we avoid it so much. Because it scares us to be so intimate. At the table, we look another one in the eyes. At the table, we lean in and we hear a real person's story. We don't drown them out settling for some TV sitcom. Their story is way more interesting. At the table, if something in the relationship is broken, it comes up. When you say pass the mashed potatoes and they shove them at you, it's like, oh, we should probably talk about this. It comes up. At the table, what we're doing is we're telling one another, what's mine is yours. My time is yours. My food is yours. My heart is open to yours. That's why our story begins and ends at the table with God, because God wants that kind of intimacy with us. He wants that place where we tell his story again and again until we actually believe it. God wants us to look another in the eyes and realize that we're looking right at him when we do it. God wants us to practice forgiveness and grace. God wants us to risk generosity because God wants our hearts. And our hearts are on full display at the table. You see, this whole story, it's just a story of people getting back to the table with their God. That's all it is. Just a few stories of the table. When I was in fifth grade, my mom and stepdad got married. And overnight, all of a sudden, my house of my mom, my sister, and me became a house of five with my stepdad and my 18-year-old stepbrother. My sister was like 14. So all of a sudden, two teenagers, one preteen. Two people trying to figure out what love together looks like. Three kids with crazy schedules, and two of them, not me, with crazy attitudes, all trying to coexist in this weird place overnight. In the midst of this chaos of blended family life, there was one rule in our home, and that was every night at 6 p.m., we were going to be at the dinner table. And for those next 2 years, until my stepbrother got married and moved away, the five of us became a family at the table. It's at the table we actually got to know each other. It's at the table we forgave each other. It's at the table we laughed together. It's at the table we heard stories of these two families becoming one. That happened every night at the table. Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, you heard of them? Oh my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. Arch competitors on the basketball court, if you remember. And as their rivalry grew over the years, so did their dislike for one another. These two guys couldn't stand each other. It wasn't just a show. And they were asked one day to do a commercial together for Converse shoes. And Larry Bird demanded that it be filmed at his farm in Indiana. And so they got there on that first day, and when it was time after filming to take a lunch break, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson started to go their separate ways. And Larry Bird's mom said she had made lunch for everyone, and they were all asked to come to the table. And reflecting on that lunch, Larry Bird said, "It was at the table that I discovered Irvin Johnson." He said, "I never liked Magic Johnson very much." Said, "But Irvin, I liked a lot. And Irvin didn't come out till I met him at mom's table." When I was 22 years old, I had landed feet on the ground in Cairo, Egypt, where I was going to try to figure out life for the next 2 years. Here I was, this young girl right out of college, scared to death. And can I tell you, the very first week in Egypt, I had at least three or four Egyptian, Arab, Muslim families who saw me as a stranger in their midst and said, "Where is your family?" And when I told them they're in America, "Well, why did they leave you here?" So I know I came here. "Why?" And I told them, "I feel like God sent me here. Well, come to our house and have dinner. Because if your family's so far away and you're on your own, we can't bear that thought. You're part of our family while you're here." And can I tell you, every night for 2 years in the Middle East, at least four or five times a week, I was at a table with Arab Muslim friends who said, "You cannot be alone here. You are our family. Come to our table." And as we broke pita bread and ate stuffed grape leaves together, I remember so often wondering if these people moved into my hometown back in America that's jam-packed with Christians. You know, our story says the same thing about hospitality. Would they receive it in the same way? Or our Muslim brothers and sisters doing a little better at us, at our very own teaching sometimes, convicted my heart. At the table, the chaos of family life slows down, and kids and teenagers know there's a safe place where they will always belong. At the table, enemies finally see each other as brothers and walls come down. At the table, a lonely girl who's far from home finds her family in the least expected place. At the table, Jesus just keeps showing up to grow us in his love, to inspire us in his mission, to heal what's broken, and to help us see him face to face. My friends, it doesn't matter what our culture says is normal. Our God knows our hearts, and our God knows what we need to live, and our God calls us back to the table. Not to give you one more thing to cram into your day, to give you the only thing that will help you live in these days. This week, will you come back to the table? Yes, I know it's a pandemic. I've watched the news too. But you guys, neglecting the table for another 6 months might do us all in. I'm not telling you invite the whole world over and don't wear masks. I'm just saying, like, somebody. This week, one day, just one person that you might set a place for. Just one person that you might honor with a taste from your kitchen and just a little bit of your heart. This week, I challenge you, invite your friends into your home. That's vulnerable, you say. I have to clean first. I know it is. But guess what? Most things with Jesus are vulnerable. We may as well just get used to it. If we want to live in our most intimate places with Jesus, then we will find him there as we let his people into our most intimate places too. Because what you did for them, you did for me. You see, Jesus tends to show up where his people are invited to come and to be. You want Jesus in your home? Invite one of his children in, and he will be there with them. This week, here's your challenge. Children of God. Called children of God. It's a fun challenge. A bit hard, but it's a fun challenge. This week, I dare you, eat with someone who makes you a bit uncomfortable. Sounds fun, right? Jesus will be there. Jesus will be there. That's fun. This week, eat with someone you need to patch some things up with. Sounds fun. Jesus will be there. This week, eat with your spouse and your kids. Put your phones away. Turn the TV off for crying out loud. It'll still be there an hour later, I promise. And have some unhurried time together. I dare you, try to go longer than 12 minutes. And don't get up until everyone has had a chance to share at least one thing on their heart. This week, eat with a stranger who needs a place to land. Every table you set this week, open your eyes, your heart. If you're looking hard enough, you will find Jesus there. My friends, do you want a holy encounter with your living God this week? Okay, well, I do. I do, and I'll just set tables by myself. That's okay. But if you do, set some tables. You actually will encounter the living God. This is such big news. I hate masks because you look so bored, but this is a big deal. The God of the universe shows up at your table. Our God loves to show up at the table, and his heart's desire is just this, to eat with his children again. Do you want to eat with him too? Will you meet your God at the table this week? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much that sometimes mission is as simple as setting a table. Sometimes we make it going to the ends of the earth and risking our necks. And sometimes it's just opening our heart to another human being as we break some bread together and letting them open their hearts to us. Thank you, O God, that you created us to eat and drink in your presence. The intimacy of life together, that's what you want. And thank you that until Revelation 22:17 comes to be, you just keep showing up at our tables, a little heaven coming to earth every time we set it. This week, O God, would you join our meals and every home represented in this room? Would you just blow us away with your goodness and your love as you come and eat with us as we eat with your people? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.